Right now, though, 14 and a half before 6, 33 degrees. A lot going on this morning. We've got one school delay we'll get to in a moment. But let's not delay getting Jason Cans on the radio from jasoncans.com, author of several books, including the devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved. Good morning.
Good morning.
We've got one school delay today, and it is, at least at this point, Mondovi, a two-hour delay today. And in addition to that, no morning 4K or early childhood. So,
is it because of the ice that there's delays? As far as you know,
I don't know that. I mean, I know it's a little slick today. There's a little snow coating out there, and so that could be the case. Sure. Also, we have a winter storm watch advance warning from 9 o'clock tomorrow night until 6 Thursday night. Talking 3 to 5 overnight on Wednesday. Another 1 to 2 during the day Thursday. Even more if you're in and around La Crosse.
All right.
All right, so I'm going to throw I posted this on Facebook already this morning, so here's the deal. Part of the sermon I heard on Sunday at church included, you know, kind of some discussion about when you're tempted, how not to sin. And there were some good recommendations, like sing a worship song or read the Bible. My problem with that, I think sometimes if I'm tempted to sin, that's the whole problem, is that internally I'm not inclined toward those two things. So I woke up this morning asking God, like, what's your plan for helping us to not sin? And I'm not saying, I just know the answer that popped in my head was massive, undeserved generosity. And it's like the light went on, because I'm like, that really fits with the story of the two lost sons and the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. I really liked that.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think that's exactly right. And I think I would add to that the having relationships with people who can remind us together of that massive undeserved grace. You know, so I know for me that in those times when I'm most tempted to sin, one of the worst things for me is isolation, to be alone with my own thoughts.
And, yeah,
you know, you've been very good at reminding me of God's grace. I'm hopeful that I've done that with you as well. And so I think you're exactly right. And I would just add that additional piece.
Yeah, and I think part of it, our friend Larry Crabb, who gets mentioned a lot. I mentioned him Saturday in sharing my story, my journey, plenty. But also is just these words from him that higher, nobler desires displace lesser desires. And what makes you want to change? And what is the gospel, right? It's this massive, undeserved generosity.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, for sure. You know, that you just asked that question, what is it makes you want to change? And, you know, sometimes my prayer has been, God, I'm not certain I want to change, but I want to change.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, so, and that, you know, that becomes the prayer too, as, you know, I know that you have higher and nobler and better things for me. And help me to want those. And, yeah, I think you're right on to something there.
So, anyhow, good stuff. And it makes me, there's a real temptation today since we finished Philippians 1 yesterday to just break a pattern and go to Luke 15 and see what you how you handle. But we'll pause. We'll keep going. We'll stay in line. But I'm tempted. I'm tempted to go to Luke 15. It's a good temptation. All right. Philippians chapter 2 today. Let's start with verse 1, and maybe we'll do 2 and 3. But let's start with verse 1.
Yeah. So it says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate?
Yeah, and what you say in Letters to the Beloved, your devotional commentary in Philippians 2:1 is this. Beloved, life with me gives you a glimpse of shalom. My tender love embraces you even when you do not feel it. My Spirit moves within you, encouraging and enlivening you. I am your ever-present companion, whether in joy or sorrow.
Yeah, you know, I really, that idea of shalom for me is so important.
You love that word.
I do. You know, and I've said it before, but, you know, when we think of the word shalom, many of us just immediately go to the idea of peace, and that's an important component, but it's actually greater than that. It's kind of universal flourishing, or the way things should be. And so God is giving us a glimpse of the way things will be when life is complete with him.
Mm. It is really good. And Peace Catalysts, he talks about, Rick Love talks about Shalom. And yeah. Can it be a greeting and a goodbye, Shalom?
That's my understanding. Yeah. And again, I think it's a blessing that we offer to one another, right? You know, it's the may your life be filled with the way things should be. And so people would say hello. It's almost like aloha, but to say hello or goodbye to one another.
Well, aloha shalom, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Likewise.
There we go. Off we go. All right, birthdays, 34 degrees on a Tuesday, January 17th. 1 2-hour delay. It's Mondovi Schools. Delayed 2 hours, no morning 4K or early childhood. That is the only school delay that we have for you today. On the listener line, Clifton Spooner says, good morning, Halvo. Birthday shout out to my former neighbor in Eau Claire, Robin Knopp. K-N-O-P-P. Happy birthday, Robin. And for birthday, Bob in Rice Lake, happy birthday to Jill, Bob's sister-in-law from the Sparta area, challenging the Sparta listeners to let Jill know that we gave her a birthday shout-out this morning. If you're listening there in Sparta on the live stream at wib.com, most likely. All right. We also are aware of Facebook that Amy Johnson with a birthday today. It's the birth anniversary of great brother in the Lord, Jess Pedigo. Mary Travis. Just saw her, I think, this past Sunday. So happy birthday to her. Ashley Mitchell out on the West Coast. Happy birthday to Ashley. All right. And other birthdays today on the national scene include James Earl Jones. Boy, if you had a narrator for your life story, that wouldn't be a bad pick. James Earl Jones, 92. CNN has utilized his voice skills. Maury Povich, 84. Steve Harvey, 66. Jim Carrey, 61. We've got three Jim Carrey drops that we use. This is one.
Man, I'm tired of being right.
This is another one.
All righty then.
And here's the third.
I'm ready to go in, coach. Just give me a chance.
All right. Very funny guy and talented, Jim Carrey. Michelle Obama, 59 today. I don't know. You got some folks who still speculate that maybe she'd run for president 2024. I don't know. Kind of a long shot, but we'll see. If she ran, she'd be a serious candidate on the Democratic side. A dancer with kind of an impronounceable name. Should I try to do it? I mean, that's what we're in the business of. Dancer Maxim Shmurkovsky is 43. Zoe Deschanel, 43. From New Girl, right? Former NBA star Dwayne Wade played his college ball at Marquette, took him to the Final Four, and then they got absolutely smoked by Kansas. He's 41. Kelly Marie Tran Rose in the latest Star Wars films is 34. And YouTuber and boxer Jake Paul is 26. Promise of the day is Proverbs 3:11-12. I will discipline you in love as a father who loves his children. Check the Devo picture of lily pads. Beautiful picture there that goes with that at 365promises.com. And finally, we do have a CCM artist birthday or two today. It is Eddie Carswell from New Song. Taron David from Grits and Travis Green with birthdays today. Travis turning 39. Trying to track down Eddie Carswell's actual age. But in the meantime, how about a tune from New Song? This has always been a favorite. More God, WWIB, 34 degrees. Good morning, weather, bottom of the hour. A winter storm watch kicking in tomorrow night until Thursday night at 6 in the Chippewa Valley. Should probably have a Cookie Monster intro to this next segment, huh?
I guess so. So everyone knows that homemade cookies, home-baked cookies, you can't beat them, right?
Right.
Plus, you get the smell in your home as well. But in a pinch, when you just have a cookie craving, sometimes you've got to get something prepackaged from the store, and there are some good options out there.
Yeah, they are, and it's no big surprise. Should we go to 5-1?
5-1, yep.
All right, so number 5, Bischoff cookies.
Yeah,
I'm not real familiar with them.
Yeah, I think I've seen them. I'm not sure that I've tried them. But in this survey, these are the 5 top-rated store-bought cookies in terms of taste.
Right.
Number 4, Pepperidge Farm remembers. Pepperidge Farm Milano cookies. I have had those occasionally. pretty tasty.
Does this have like a little chocolate filling in between?
I believe. So yeah. It almost looks like a sub sandwich, but in cookie form and small and tasty.
And again, what comes to mind for me is, you know, dipping it in a little coffee maybe. Number three is the Loft House Frosted Sugar Cookies. I mean, sugar cookies alone are pretty good. You get them frosted. Wow.
Loft House cookies are very delicious. Okay. Again, here on the Wib Wake Up Show, top five store-bought cookies, according to a recent survey. I have not tried these. I've not heard of these. Number two is Tate's Bake Shop chocolate chip cookies. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen those before? Are those around
Not real familiar.
Okay.
Not real familiar. But I do know about the number one choice, which is Oreos.
Oreos has so many different flavors right now, too. So I'm not sure if this encompasses all of them. But I would have to say the peanut butter Oreos are probably my very favorite.
Really? I've never even had peanut butter Oreos.
You haven't?
No.
Oh,
I mean, I know the classic ones, and then I'm thinking of kind of the lighter colored ones, but...
And there's like the, you know, the double stuff, and then my kids like the... I think there's mega stuff. There might even be like an ultimate stuff. If Lily's listening, she could remember it. Because at one point, I searched...
Okay.
It was something more, I think, than mega stuff.
Wow.
It was the most stuff ever. Yeah, it was, I think it was called the most stuff Oreo.
Wow.
And I went on a quest for my daughter because Lily had asked for these.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm trying to be a good dad. I want to get her what she wants. And I have searched every store. I mean, literally, probably 6, 7, 8 stores. Couldn't find them. Called all over the place. And apparently, it was a limited time offering. So I ended up getting mega stuff Oreos. And we Frankensteined them and took the stuffing out of 2 or 3. And I put them together and I made her a huge stuffed Oreo. So
what a loving dad.
Well, they were pretty good.
Cookies can inspire you to sing sometimes.
C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. Oh, cookie, cookie, cookie starts with C. Oh.
All right, Tuesday Trivia, your chance to win this morning on the Wib Wake Up Show.
And what do you know? We've pulled out more Culver's prizes for you. How about a free value basket from Culver's along with a free 2-scoop sundae? Enjoy that from your local Culver's here in Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls, and Rice Lake. If you are the first to answer this question correctly, 715-723-2555, 723-2555 for Tuesday Trivia here in the Wib Wake Up Show. It's estimated... Although it's estimated that Americans consume 200 million of these every day.
That's a lot.
It's estimated that Americans consume 200 million of these every single day. What are we talking about? 715-723-2555.
All right. We'll get the phones ready. Take your guesses. 200 million of these every day, not every week, every day.
Every day. That's a lot.
It is.
715-723-2555. Again, a Culver's value basket and a Culver's 2-scoop Sunday coupons for those for you if you get our Tuesday trivia question correct.
We got our first caller. Good morning.
Good morning. Vitamins.
Vitamins. Oh, sure. Good
guess.
Not vitamins. Not vitamins, but call us back. Try again. 715-723-2555. The number to dial.
200 million of what every day? Good morning.
Good morning. How about donuts?
Donuts. Good guess.
That would mean like what? Almost 2 out of 3 of us have a donut every day. Man, that's the way to start the day, but not donuts.
The opposite end of the spectrum, vitamins and donuts competing against each other.
See, my dad used to call donuts vitamin D.
Ah, and there we go. You need that for fighting the seasonal affective disorder. Good morning. What's your guess? Uh-oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
What do you think?
Eggs.
Eggs. Another good guess.
Not when they're $5 a dozen.
Ah, no. So many great egg jokes on Facebook these days. What a giver for Valentine's Day that she'll be impressed with. Eggs, you know?
There you go.
There we go. Good morning. What's your guess?
What do you think?
Oh, I just lost her. I didn't hear you at first. My apologies. Please call back. Good morning. What's your guess?
Cheeseburgers?
Cheeseburgers. That sounds delicious.
That's not it.
Not either. Cheeseburgers. It's estimated that Americans consume 200 million of these every day. This isn't worldwide. This is just in the U.S. of A.
You guys are doing making some great guesses. Good morning.
What do you think? What's your guess?
Chocolate
I missed that. One more time.
Cups of coffee.
Another fantastic guess.
Very good.
Well, they've had some great... Our listeners are sharp.
Well, I'm trying to think. Almost two-thirds of the population, if it's one per person, and that's another thing to think about.
We got a little bit of a... I don't know what it is in the phone line here this morning. Hi, what's your guess?
Gallons of water.
200 million gallons of water. Not gallons of water, but good thinking. Estimated that Americans consume 200 million of these per day.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm tempted to give a hint here, Caleb, but go ahead. What's your guess?
Is it potatoes?
It's not potatoes nor potatoes.
Can I give a hint?
If you feel led to do so.
Let's take one more guess. Hi, WWIB.
Pizza?
Is it pizza?
That's a lot of pizza, man.
Try again.
All right. I'm just going to say two-word hint. Think smaller.
It's estimated that Americans consume 200 million of these each day. Incorrect answer so far. It's not vitamins, donuts, eggs, cheeseburgers, cups of coffee, gallons of water, potatoes, or pizza.
You guys have had some fantastic guesses.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. Good morning. What's your guess?
Is it M&M's?
It is M&M's.
Good guess.
We eat 200 million M&M's. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
That was my husband's guess.
Well, he was absolutely right.
My husband Josh, he's driving, so it was his guess. Josh got it right.
Well, Caroline and Josh, where are you guys from?
Rice Lake.
All right. Well, hey, hang on the line, and we've got some prizes for you here. Yes, 200 million M&M's per day.
So did he guess that after I said think smaller?
He guessed it before that, actually.
Okay. All right. There you go. I didn't give it away. Very good. Good job to Josh and Caroline this morning. Hold the line. You guys are the winners of the Culver's goodies. What was your greatest athletic accomplishment, Caleb?
Dunking a basketball.
There you go.
15 years old. Happened one time. I needed something to be able to beat my dad in a game of pig, and I knew that he couldn't dunk.
Ha!
And so I was able to do it one time. Couldn't do it again for another 2-3 years.
Intramural softball, sixth grade, I pitched a no-hitter.
Wow.
It was fast pitch, underhand. That's what it was back in the day. And the fourth grader, Paul Lindell, he is still my Facebook friend. He made two fantastic catches. So it wasn't just stellar pitching. I had good defense behind me. Well, how about this woman? Over 5 months, her accomplishment far exceeds what we did.
Yeah, it really does. So a woman from Australia ran 150 marathons, not in her lifetime.
Yeah.
Not over the course of several years. 150 marathons in 150 days.
That is crazy. That is unbelievable. Across 3,900 miles of Australia. Most modern maps you see in textbooks or on the walls of your high school social studies classroom don't accurately show how large Australia is. It's pretty good size.
It really is, and she also raised money for charity. She's 32 years old. I'm just trying to think of the toll that this would take on you. I mean, because running a marathon is intense from what I hear.
Right.
But to do it day after day after day, at what point would you just be like, what have I gotten myself into?
Yeah, I mean, during a run, she raised over $70,000 for a conservation charity. But, I mean, there's a part of me that goes, wow, for that kind of effort and sacrifice, it's like she deserves to have raised more, you know?
I'm just wondering what kind of vehicle she has and if there's enough room for 150 26.2 stickers on the back.
I think we did a fundraiser here 15 years ago in Eau Claire. It was called Hope for Forgotten Children. And I want to say the guy who was with us, our main speaker, I thought he did like maybe 30 marathons in 30 days. But, I mean, 150, that is like close to half a year.
My claim to fame here at the station is that I developed and organized the world's shortest, Wisconsin's shortest ever fun run. What was it, a .0005K or something like that? I think I still have some of those stickers in my office, too. So that's a little bit more my speed, but goodness gracious, what an athlete.
This is a bit weird, Caleb.
This is rather odd. And again, the Guinness Book of World Records is very eclectic. There are lots of things that people can do. I believe chiropractor Steve Ruppel from over in the Wausau area has run very long races wearing the most shirts ever.
And right.
So again, you can get in the Guinness Book of World Records for a lot of different things, but this one is a whole different level of just oddness, just different.
So an Italian accountant has gained fame for retyping books in a unique way, backward. He retypes works of others, usually famous historical texts, and types them using four blank keyboards simultaneously without ever looking up at the screen to double-check his work.
Now, that is an incredible typist, I guess, to be able to do it on four different keyboards simultaneously, typing backward. And again, so what I'm understanding is that he doesn't check anything, so does he do it word perfect, or does he go back and correct it later? But yeah, he holds the Guinness World Record of 81 books typed backward and counting. He types them in their original language with his custom-built keyboards.
Is he dyslexic? I mean, what's the deal here? Among the works he's completed are the Epic of Gilgamesh, the Egyptian Book of the Dead, the Code of Hammurabi, the Bible, and the Guinness World Records 2002. He did, that thing is thick.
That's one way of getting their attention, is to type from 21 years ago the Guinness Book of World Records.
Who would care, though?
I think what's most intriguing to me about this is that someone actually thinks of doing this and then makes almost a career out of it. So it's not just, oh, I wonder if I can teach myself to type backward, but then it's like, I'm going to teach myself to type backward on four different keyboards, and I'm going to type the Bible.
And I guess, right, to each his own. I mean, you know, there are a million hobbies. I'd never heard of this one, but typing backward. Wow.
Now you know.
That's tough. You know, it's interesting. Like, I can count backward, no problem, 199, 90. But, like, trying to say the alphabet backward, that gets trickier.
Well, and you think about it because, you have to read and then transliterate that in your mind and then to your fingers. That's a very epic mind.